The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town.
All right, folks, we're back. Like second hour of the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest, Tom D. and Roger Landry. Now, guys, my phone lines are loaded here, and I knew they would be. But before I get to the phones, I tell you, during the break, I went into my email, and here's what, just one quick one for you. Question. Was the Ohio train transporting chemical weapons bound for Ukraine? What are your thoughts on that, gentlemen?
I don't know if I would have any way to know about that. I got a friend who was military intelligence, but I could check with him, but I doubt he knows either since he's retired. So
I would tell you right now, having spent 30 years working either in or for the military, that if you had a cargo that was that valuable and you knew that those wheels were on fire and that there was going to be a serious event, that train would have been stopped immediately and taken care of. Because if that train derails, that stuff's not getting to the Ukraine. No, it was intended to derail where it derailed. And if there was anything that valuable intended for Ukraine, it wouldn't have derailed.
Well, it's interesting that he mentioned this because he also put a clip. I guess evidently Jeff Renz's show reported on this the other night. So that's all I know. I'm not going to go in there and listen to it. But let's go to the phones, guys.
Hey, real
let's
quick, see Michael, if Michael. I want to see something. You know, there's one thing that I haven't seen, and I've been expecting it for quite a long time. I used to inspect nuclear power plants for the NRC under 10 CFR 50. And the condition of the plants around the country, at least the ones that I inspected back in the 80s and 90s, they stopped the back in the, I guess it was back in the either late 70s or beginning of the 80s, they stopped the shipments of anything more than low rad waste across state lines. They used to take all the waste mm-hmm. and stuff to Barnwell, South Carolina. Now, so that means they're storing all of these spent fuel rods in the spent fuel pool in these
locally.
Nuclear plants.
Yep.
And we saw what happened to Fukushima when they lost power. If we lose the grid and then the generators go down and the cooling water circulatory system stops, we are in serious trouble. It's the only thing that makes me think that. The possibility, and it's like a 0.001% that this stuff is all random and it's not planned. But
or
if I was going to really make a mess, I'd be going in and knocking these power plants down and knocking the grid down. And then, you know what, it doesn't take but about 24 to 48 hours for a spent fuel pool to overheat.
If a terrorist who came across the border, which there's a hell of a lot of them, just to do damage in this country, decides that or is told that's his target. And don't tell me it's not happening. These aren't coincidences.
Weak point in the grid is the SCADAs, and those are all modem-driven, and I don't even know. I mean, they were talking about upgrading them to more secure devices, but you know what? Any kid with a Atari computer could dial into them. Anyway, go ahead, Michael. I'm sorry to just.
All right, let's go to the phones. I don't want to keep these people waiting too long. Let's start out with Dave in Massachusetts. Dave, you're on with Michael, Roger, and Tom. Do you have a question or comment, Dave?
Oh yeah, hello.
Welcome to the show,
Michael. Michael, I heard you and the gentleman, Tom and Roger and everything, and yourself. You all seem to indicate that you don't believe in coincidences. So this is my serious question to you gentlemen. Republic Broadcasting had three main supporting pillars, and these three main supporting pillars, they all shared the same traits. They were all male, they were all white, they were all heterosexual, and they were all Christians. And, you know, their names was John Stadtmiller, Rick Adams, and Ralph Winterrode. Now, do you gentlemen seriously believe that it's just a funny coinky-dinky that they were all silenced in the same relatively narrow time frame?
Roger?
Wow. I would tell you, and that is a brilliant question, because what I would tell you is nothing surprises me today. And as Michael said when this show started, you're only going to hear 0.1% of what I actually know in this 2 hours. That is a very valid point. You are right, and way too much information that people need to know comes out on RBN. John was my partner. John was the media director for TLB Talk. Look, that was a brilliant question, and if you hadn't asked that and I heard about it later, I'd have been seriously disappointed. Thank you, caller. David, that was, yes. Is that a possibility? You bet your sweet butt it is.
Well, you know, I have an acquaintance up here in Massachusetts. I've never met him in person. It's just a telephone relationship. But he knew Rick Adams, and he went down to the services at the funeral home to Rick Adams' wake, for example. And it was a closed casket. It was a closed casket. Nobody was able to give him an answer why the casket was closed and what Rick Adams actually died from.
Well, I can tell you that I was not allowed to, when I went to the funeral home for John Stadtmiller, myself and his brother-in-law, we were forbidden. We were not allowed to see him. We were not allowed to touch any of his belongings or anything. So we were, you know, Rick and I were looking at each other like, what, you know, what's this all about? You know, and they were, oh, it's COVID. We have to be careful. I said, he's dead. What is the difference? And they refused to let us in.
That was a brilliant question / statement. And, thank you.
And then Roger,
all right.
And I want to end with a little bit of humor, but tangentially, this doesn't tie in as strongly as the three main pillars of RBN being collapsed and silenced and everything. But tangentially now, and then of course, Michael Collins Piper was silenced, Tex Mars was silenced, and then the other Mars, Jim Mars, was silenced, not in the same narrow time frame as the three pillars of RBN, but in the same general time frame. Michael Collins Piper's circumstances were kind of strange. Up there in the motel room up in northern Idaho, up there with that, who I'm very skeptical of, that Mark Glenn and so on. But and the deep state, knows all our health issues. So, you know, they
yes.
they can cover up our if we die in a hospital and everything. They know what to put in the medical reports that kind of tie in with our preconditions and so on and so forth. You know.
But, all right, Dave, I've got to interject here. Dave, I appreciate that, and it's great. It's a great question. Yes. My phone lines are loaded. I've got to let you go, buddy, because I don't want to keep these people holding too long.
Michael, can I just tell you my Black History Month joke real quick? This is
30
this
seconds.
Is the last,
go ahead.
Yeah, this is the last day of Black History. Okay. In honor of Black History Month, what did the black pair of shoes say to the white pair of shoes? What would a black pair of shoes say to a white pair of shoes during Black History Month? Hey, I bet I have more soul than you have.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the call.
I was sweating that one, boy. I didn't know what was going to come out of his mouth.
Me too. Dave, you've been brilliant.
All right, I got to move on. Yeah, I got to move on. Let's go to Pam in the Midwest. Pam, thanks for holding. Sorry to keep you waiting so long. You're on with Michael, Roger, and Tom. What's on your mind, girl?
Hi, guys. I've been saying that about John Stadtmiller. I really think something dirty was done to him. But anyway, you stole my fire. I'm from the Roger Landry School of what the hell is going on. I'm outraged. We are at war. We are being attacked from every direction possible. And everybody, oh, well, just go along with it. We are being attacked. We're being killed off. And that idiot at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is going over to a foreign country. Are you kidding me? Anyway, you guys took my fire. Doggone it.
Well, but Pam, before we
fire, you had some
But before we let you go, does that mean you're going to join the PP Club?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I told you, Mike. I told you, Michael. I sent in my paperwork because I had a little incident with a sheriff and a deputy. And you know what? I said, that's it. Pushed me over the line. I sent in my paperwork, and I'm tracking it. And it's going to take longer to get in. And I'm like, come on, get the darn thing in already.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let me interject. Pam, as long as you brought that up, let me interject. I got a letter from the State Department yesterday that basically, there's so many weird anomalies in this letter that I just find it fascinating that a government official would even send it. One of the statements in here says she claims there is no way that I can add documents to a passport record of a U.S. citizen that has already been issued a passport. I didn't ask her to add any documents. Another thing that she depicted in here is that, they tried to reverse it on me and say that as a U.S. citizen, I can't apply as a U.S. national, which I was a U.S. national before I was a U.S. citizen. But what's even more interesting on it, pardon me?
What do you mean apply? Oh no!
That's what I said.
My birthright.
Yeah. Right. Okay. But let me finish. Even on the envelope, what government gentlemen, both members of the PP Club, what government agency have you ever seen send you a letter with a postage stamp on it? Have you ever seen that?
A non-governmental agency. That's who.
A non-governmental agency contracted by a government agency.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay, I just want to interject that, folks.
I can't wait to get mine to see if I get one too. There, Michael.
Yeah,
because I've got a hell of a response they're going to get back. I can guarantee you.
I have a hypothetical question for you guys. Okay.
All right.
You know, in view of all of these "quote unquote" attacks on our infrastructure, our food systems, and everything. What would happen if people really started saying, hey, I've had enough? And whenever they kind of ran across, or there are people that know about how these things operate, you know, these covert operations. What if people started being hunted down for their treason? I mean,
look, hold on. That's a brilliant question. Let me give you something real quick here. You just sparked something in me. The biggest fear that the globalists have for America has nothing to do with our production, nothing to do with our financial status, nothing to do with our education. It has everything to do with the Second Amendment. The United States, every time there is an issue, more people go out and buy guns than anywhere on the planet. There are estimated to be between 350 and 500 million guns in private hands in America. That is more than every armed force on the entire planet combined. Why do you think they are pushing so hard to destroy the Second Amendment? They will not step up with total tyranny until they fully understand that we won't step up. What did Hirohito ask Yamamoto to do after Pearl Harbor? Attack the West Coast. What did Yamamoto tell the emperor? I can't do that. There'll be an American with a rifle behind every blade of grass. We have 10 times more guns in private hands now than we did then. We are a force to be reckoned with. You're right again, my friend, and I really like you.
I like you too, Roger. You don't throw all right. out the BS.
All right.
Guys.
Welcome to the club, Pam. Listen, I got to run. My phone's loaded, honey. Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Andrea in Oklahoma. Andrea, for waiting, you're on with Roger, Tom, and Michael. What's on your mind, girl?
Okay. Well, after so much information about the terrorism of our country, our government actually terrorizing us and destroying our land and killing our animals for, you know, consumption, and besides all the poisoning of our food and everything that they've been doing all along.
Yes.
They have machines that can track each and every phone call, supposedly, every keystroke that you are on
yes.
your computer, everything that you say on any phone you have. And who knows, maybe your router and everything else is listening to you at night. Who knows? But we should be able to have special forces somewhere in our government that is still working for we the people and that is just and still sees the dilemma of what's going on and is taking them out in the background. But if they're replacing them with lookalikes, and they keep the show going. I just wish Special Forces would go ahead and clean the slate if they know who these people are. And I know they're out there. I know we can't be that dumb that we didn't have Special Forces. How many movies are there of the Hollywood put out? I think there's 15 of them where this exact scenario went down and they cleaned it up. But yet, in true life, they don't have that going on. I hate to think that we just have to sit like ducks on a pond and be picked off.
Well, I know we can probably count on all the military people that refused to take the shot and were kicked out of the military, so I know they're on our side, and that was a hell of a lot of people.
I hate to think that our country wasn't prepared for this, and it's astounding to even turn on the radio and my jaw just stays on the floor as I'm listening to the news and what they're doing to children with these allowing these people into their classroom to show them butt plugs and things of that nature. It's just, where is the sanity? I mean,
you're not only right, but I'm going to take what Tom said just a little bit further, okay? If you stop to consider, they attacked the healthcare system so that it pretty much went down on one knee. It was nowhere near as effective as it should have been. They attacked this. They attacked the border security. They made it non-existent. And what did they attack bigger, better, harder, and almost first? They attacked our military. Not only was it you need to take a shot, even though most of these military people were smart enough to understand the dangers of that and that it didn't work, but then they put LGBTQ in the military. Do you want to share a tank with somebody like this? Do you want to share a fighter aircraft with someone like this? They literally did this to prevent exactly what you're talking about. They did it to demoralize and destroy the U.S. military from within. You don't do either one of these things unless you, especially as the commander-in-chief, unless you intend to do irrevocable damage to the world's premier military. They did, and your statement was brilliant.
So is that saying that we're all on our own, that if you have a gun, you better get very prepared to know how to use it when they come knocking on
your door? What Tom said is very true, and there are still a lot of people in the military, if push comes to shove and they have to take sides. I know, because I spent 30 years in or working with the military, and so did Tom, there are a lot of people who will say, hell with this, I'm going to protect my family. I'm going to protect my neighborhood. I'm going to protect the Americans. So, no, we're not on our own. But they tried very, very hard to negate that possibility as much as possible, the possibility of the military standing up and saying, oh, stop right there. They tried very hard to take a wrecking ball to that. Did it succeed? Probably not. Was it effective? Yeah. But I don't think it succeeded.
I don't think any military person who took an oath to support and defend the Constitution would fire on their own people. That's why they want to bring in the blue hats.
And that's why they want all the guns gone.
I love you guys. Yep. Thank you so much. You've raised my hopes. Thank you.
Have a great day. Have a great evening.
Too. Thank you, Andrea. Okay, move on here. Let's go to Scotty. Scotty, thanks for holding your arm with Michael, Roger, and Tom. What's on your mind? You got a question or comment for either one of my guests? Go ahead, Scotty.
Is this three P's in their BVDs?
Yeah, with the Depends thrown in the mix, right?
Yeah, that Depends.
Hi, Scotty. Yeah. Hey, Scotty, yeah, are you going to beam us up yet?
Well, I got about 8 to 10 things to say. Some are really important. If you just give me about 8 minutes or 5 minutes, I'll try.
I don't know if I
can. All right, let me ramble off a few things. It relates to a lot of good stuff, okay? You mentioned anything is possible. Could it be possible that Princess Diana is still alive and is the highest level general the planet ever knew? Could it be that Michael Jackson is actually the Weeknd, and he gives away a lot of clues if you pay attention? But then some things aren't possible. Is it possible that people with them boxes in their hands are going to figure out how to beat a freaking camera ticket? I don't think so. I don't think that's really possible. But the deal is, as far as Ron O'Donnell stuff, I sent him some stuff. There's a woman called Carol Kine. She used to do Two Moms in a Burrow, not to be mixed up with three P's in their BVDs, okay? But she had a video very similar to what Ron O'Donnell went into the other night. I mailed it to him. Carol Kine on YouTube is CaliSac61, and when you get to her channel, it plays that video automatically. It's the identical thing with that she got a book with a hidden book by accident. Anyway, you could watch it. I did mail it to O'Donnell, okay? But as far as the deep state, and someone was saying, did someone say special forces? I sent to Steve Elkins yesterday an amazing Facebook video from someone they killed 3 years ago. He went into the deep state and the secret government, and the same thing with the secret oaths and everything that Ron O'Donnell was talking about is in that video. I only watched 20 minutes. It's an hour and 5 minutes. I sent it to Steve Elkins. I'll forward it to Mike after this, and I want to get Dave in Massachusetts, number two. He said he can get me Ralph Winterworld's work, possibly. But you also, Dave, forgot to mention Rick Adams. Not Rick Adams. Sally O'Cordy also died.
Sally O'Cordy worked for the Liberty Beacon Project. She wrote for us on a regular basis. She was a friend of mine.
Okay. Well, the man that has this deep state video, it is the best collaboration I've ever seen. It's the deep state and the secret government, and he introduced it by thanking Dane Wigginton for getting him started and what he did. And everything that he puts out is open source stuff, but they still killed him 3 years ago. So I will forward that to Dave. As far as another thing to Ron O'Donnell, to join your club, I used to be a good doobie. When I was on Romper Room forever, when I was a little kid, I'm like the all-American kid, red hair and freckles, and I was on Romper Room, and they kept fighting me back year after year, and I was always the good doobie, you know? And then I was sitting there realizing, now this isn't anti-Semitic, I'm Italian, but I realized I'm sitting there because they used to fight me back every anniversary, and I realized looking around like I'm a big jooch with all these little kids. You know, so it's not Jew like Semite, it's Jewch like, I was huge and they were little. I'll end it there
Let me ask you a question. When you were in school, did you always get blamed for everything? I got red hair and freckles too, and not anymore, but when every time something went wrong, it was, the kid with the red hair did it. I wouldn't even be in school that day, and I did it.
I never got in with anyone at school. Where I was, you had the jocks or you had the dirtbags. The dirtbags with the leather jackets and the denim jackets and the tattoos and stuff. And then the jocks were the sports people. I didn't fit in with any of them. Later, at the end, this is really interesting. I'm telling you, it won in a billion. It turned out all my friends were closet homosexuals because they didn't fit into society either. But here's why it's important. The homosexuals back then are nothing like the homosexuals now. These were tough men, wrestlers, comic. You didn't know they were gay. They taught me how to tell a gay person, you got to watch who they look at. They don't look at the hot broad that walks by. They look at the guy's ass that walks by. Oh, sorry to curse on the air at this hour. Sorry about that.
I would tell you that if I walked into a classroom, the first thing the teacher did was go, "Oh my God!" Not kidding.
I believe that
today. Now they're misfits. Back then they were awake and they knew the world was messed up.
All right, we got to move on, Scotty. Thanks for the input. I got to get to these calls, so let's go to the next one. Let's go to Miles in Maine. Miles, thanks for waiting. You're on with Michael, Roger, and Tom. What's on your mind? Hello, Miles. Did Miles drop my? Okay, well let's move on to the next one. Keep him there if he comes back. Let's go to Mark in Georgia. Mark, you're on with Michael, Roger, and Tom. What's on your mind, buddy?
I was calling in about, I think it was Andrea, the lady that was calling in about asking about the Special Forces. I kind of was hoping that there was something going to happen, but from what I understand, all these guys in Special Forces, like when they get inducted into Special Forces, they get inducted into, like, the black arts or the dark arts. These guys are compromised. Their souls are not going to freaking... It's the same as, like, what people are starting to notice with these, with the people that took the vax, the shots. Their personalities have changed, and I do believe in a spiritual, metaphysical type of spell that was actually preyed upon these batches, and certain spells were cast into these things, and that's why people's personalities, like some of these people, like you talk to them and you're like, wow, you know, okay, I knew you before, and even family members are saying they're not the same anymore. So unfortunately, I don't think you can count on those people. And I remember back in like 2006 or 2007, listening to Coast to Coast AM late one night, like 2 a.m, whatever, and I forget who they were interviewing. But then they actually played a clip from whoever it was at the time. He was like the Secretary of Defense at the time, and basically the subject was all about like the future military and this and that. And he kind of made an off camera cuff remark, and I guess like it wasn't really a planned comment or something like that, but it was like a snide remark. But basically they asked him what the plans were, and the guy was like, oh, by like in the 20s, you know, we plan on having a homosexual military. And then the person was like, well, what is the purpose of that? And he's like, well, to go after the straight people and the Christians, of course. And the reporter's like, well, why would they do that for being lambasted and made fun of and ridiculed and be made ashamed for all those years? It's going to be their time for revenge.
It's for generating chaos within the military, which is one of our most important portions of this entire nation, our military. And it is one of the best militaries on the planet. It had to be knocked to its knees. What we are seeing is exactly what you just described. It was intentional, and it is not so that they can get revenge. It is basically so that they can take America from being the nation everybody is afraid of to America that everybody is laughing at. After 30 years of working in the military, I'm seeing that.
Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying. But like I said, it was like his snide remarks.
And yes, then,
like,
I agree.
I guess a way of justifying it. But I'm going to tell you
Mark, I'll hold you over. Listen, we got to go to a break. Jim... Terry, Francis in North Carolina, I'll take you after Mark. You guys hold on, we'll get to all of you. We'll be back in three.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Back with the National Intel Report with my special guest Tom D and Roger Landry. Roger's been quiet for quite a while. Mark, I guess, dropped. Gentlemen, we still got callers on the line. I want to run through these. So,
Hey, real quick, I just want to quench this thing about Stadtmiller. I was talking to Stadtmiller the night, way into the wee hours, like 2 o'clock in the morning, when the night he died, or the day he died. And John died from what's called a AAA, an abdominal arterial aneurysm. Basically, the major artery in his gut, in his abdomen, burst, and he basically bled to death internally. So, you know, I don't know if there's a way to cause something like that. I know that Michael and them had said that he was complaining that he, you know, had a stomach ache at some point, but. And we tried to get him to go to the doctor, and he was concerned with having to take the jab. So, I don't know. I just want to let people know that, so they're not putting, you know, right, pieces of the puzzle together that don't belong.
That's a report I got as well, and it's hard to determine. And I mean, with as many of these Arkansides as we've seen in the past, both of you guys, you know, yeah, that's the first thing we think because we've seen it. We live it. But in this case with John, and that's the report I got as well, as it was an abdominal aneurysm that burst.
Yeah, and his family does have a history of heart problems, too. So his father and his sister, and in fact, his younger sister just passed away from cancer. So it's really sad, you know. So anyway, back to what you're doing.
Yeah, let's get back to the phones. All right, let's go to Francis, North Carolina. Francis, you're on with Michael, Tom, and Roger. What's on your mind, girl?
Hey, fellas. Good to hear from you. I have to admit that Pam cracked me up earlier. You go, gal.
Yes.
Aside from that, I thought I had the best designer version, but I see I have been outdone. What I mean by is, I want to know where you fellas got your much better designer tinfoil hat.
I've got to tell you something. A tinfoil hat, for anybody who doesn't understand why it was even stamped on us originally, is because it will block frequencies. Okay? If somebody's trying to shoot a beam at your head to take over, okay, wearing a tinfoil hat will protect your head. Basically, it steers whatever beam around your head and won't allow it to penetrate. I would tell you that a tinfoil hat is not an insult to me, but at the same time, I come at this, and caller, that's a brilliant question. I come at it this way. I dare anybody to challenge anything I say. If I'm going to say it, I'm going to be able to back it up. And if I can't, the first thing I'm going to say to you is, I believe this, but I can't prove it. If you don't hear me say, I believe this, but I can't prove it, I can prove it.
There you go. Well, for one thing, a lot of people don't realize it, but that type of a designer hat is another version of a Faraday cage. If anybody even studies a little bit of science at all, would come to realize, oh my gosh, that's right, tell it like it is. That's one of our canines. Anyway, I apologize. But I
love dogs, don't apologize.
Good. I actually took a facial tissue box, wrapped it in aluminum foil, and just for the poops and giggles, I actually put my cell phone at the time in it and asked my other half that in about 60 seconds give me a buzz back on the phone to see what would happen. And it was closed. The signal did not go through. And I was like,
you know, one of the best places you can put your phone or any other electronics is in the microwave. Just don't turn it on.
Just don't turn it on. Yes. Because the microwave is very well grounded and shielded.
That was a thought I hadn't thought of yet, but you just took all the fun of it by not turning it on. But anyway.
I like this lady.
Hey,
try making Jiffy Pop popcorn in the microwave.
Nope, don't even go there. I mean, they did that in, the film Hancock or whatever. So anyway, and before I forget, I'll have lime, coconut, and pineapple with my Corona and the variants. However, otherwise, I'm not surprised by what is being pulled off and shenanigans are incurring to distract people all over the place. It's cracking me up like no way in sight.
Yes. I got to jump in. You just made a brilliant point. I did a show, my last two shows, in which I told the entire crowd that everything you see going on, there are more disasters occurring in America today in the last 2 years than in the last 20 to 30 years combined. You all heard me say that. The reason for that is distraction. Distraction from what? The increasing death toll across the planet from the 6.4 billion people who have been fully vaccinated.
Well, that's a given.
Yep.
That's a given, but the problem is it's being hidden. Yep. I mean, it's the old magician's trick. You distract with one hand while the people don't see what's going on with the other hand and what action it's taking. I mean, it's as old as the hills. I mean, it's totally absurd. but it's effective. It works because of everyday person. That's why I'm concerned about people walking around with their heads pointing down at their toys that they're walking around looking at, because if the pilots that are flying these planes are injected and they're having issues with their heart and they end up with a heart attack or who knows what and crash the plane, those people that are walking around dumbfounded and looking at the pavement and not up around them at their neighbors are going to get plowed into.
Oh, I apologize. You did it again. The FAA, listen to me, the FAA has changed the rules for how you pass your heart tests in order to be a pilot. They used to have to take a test, a complete cardiogram. If you were 40 years old, you had to take one when you came in, and once you hit 40, you had to take one every year going forward. They now have relaxed the accepted level of passing, which means any pilot who wouldn't have passed a year and a half ago will pass today because of what the shots, they're all fully vaccinated, have done to their hearts. This is not a joke. You can find this online, which means that every commercial pilot flying today is twice as dangerous and more susceptible to a heart attack than they have ever been.
Well, then their guidelines are all wrong, because, quite frankly, they should be tested at least once a month, not more. Pardon?
But they totally
all right, we got to move on, Francis. Okay. I've still got callers on the line. We're starting to run out of time here. So thank you for the call. I appreciate your input, Francis. Let's go to Jim in Northern Michigan. Jim, thanks for holding your on with Michael, Roger, and Tom. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? I just looked in my cupboard, and I have the turkey aluminum foil, so I could do like a whole body wrap. It'll be an issue whatsoever. Yeah. I'm actually suffering from cognitive dissonance, okay? And Roger, maybe you'll understand this. And I've been talking about what I'm 75 years old, okay? I've been
I'm
around
68.
For a while. I've listened to all this stuff for years. But what I'm thinking is that if you look at the Democrats, socialists, communists, the people on the other side, the crazy people, what they always try and do is they always try to censor the truth. And I know you guys know all about this stuff. I do too. Anyways, the whole point is that how effective that is as far as the news media, because they give them all the upper, you know, the pharmaceutical crap, everything. But
yep.
They don't listen to the alternative media, okay? And what I'm thinking is who sets the narrative as far as talking? Now, I read Gateway Pundit, Zero Hedge, InfoWars. I mean, all these different websites and stuff. I read them, and all I see, and the reason I'm saying this is because my wife and I were going, every single program we turn on TV now, there's always homosexuals, lesbians, transvestites, or whomever, you know. So who's setting the narrative there? They're making us innocuous to something that's really not normal in my neighborhood forever. So what I'm thinking is, in fact, are we actually, when we talk about the drag queen story times and all, I mean, I see even Gateway Pundit, all these, they talk about all these horrendous things that are happening around the country. And it's like even Hollywood, they're programming us to accept this as normal. It's not normal in my community, and probably 90% of the country, this is not normal stuff. You know,
okay.
You have trainees working at stores and stuff. So
not only right,
hold
on. Let me jump in real quick. Not only right, and I apologize, but you just hit one of those points where Roger's got to open his mouth. You're not only right, but you have to stop and consider that. Let's look at President Biden's administration. How many of them, and I have nothing against gay people, how many of them are gay or transsexual or whatever? Far more than just about any other administration if you combine them all together. Let's take a look at how big of the percentage of population these people actually are out of 350 million people. They're less than 3%. So what we have right now is less than 3% of the total population of this country telling you and your children how you're going to live, what you can do, and what you can't do. This is divide and conquer, and it is an elitist faction that is supplanting all of our freedoms. Less than 3% of the population now has total sway over your life and your children's life. How does that make sense to anybody?
Well, the thing is, too, they own the media. They own Hollywood. They own everything. They're pushing this on this end. It's not in my community whatsoever. I live in a rural community. In rural towns, this stuff is unacceptable. But when they force it on you every day, it's going to make my children think, who are younger, okay, think that it's normal. And it's not really normal. It's mental illness. I'm sorry, my friend. Anyways, Roger, thank you so much. Always nice hearing from you, my friend.
Nothing but brilliant callers today, Michael. Nothing
All right.
but brilliant
well,
callers.
I agree. Let's get to the last ones. I like to get to everybody. So, John in Michigan, you'll be up next. But let's first go to Terry in Texas. Terry, you're on with Michael, Roger, and Tom. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'll just throw this out there real quick. I come at this as an American national, not a citizen. So I'll put that out there real quick. There's a website. If you type in revocation of election and put in SAD as in dog M.org, and what this shows you is the Code of Federal Regulations as seen by the Supreme Court, the United States Congress, and the Internal Revenue Service. And it clearly states in these Code of Federal Regulations basically statutory and non-statutory citizens. And so it's very clear as you read these takes from those three different agencies. So I would say do that, sadm.org. And also if you go to Fruit from a Poisonous Tree, scroll down to page 48 and read the next 10 pages, tells you how they created the democracy of a republic and who's behind it and what their goals are.
Yep.
The third thing I would say is what they're coming at us with, there's a website called stopworldcontrol.com, and it shows you their plans in their words, and so it's pretty scary. My take on it is when all this stuff comes down and food is going to be their priority to come after, that's obvious, and they're going to try to go into your farms and your property and get your animals, whether it's from an Asian flu or a bird flu. They're already telegraphing that to you. So if you're in a rural area, you need to find out who your sheriff is. He may well be a George Soros sheriff. They're out there.
Over 10 million birds have already been destroyed, whether it's chickens or turkeys, intentionally destroyed. 10 million.
Absolutely. And they're coming after your Beef. Personal stash on animals.
Yep. So,
and they're going to do it through this, the next bird flu or whatever it is. They're going to come in with these world councils and these green treaties and try to get your farms and your animals. So if you're in a county, you need to get with your sheriff. You need to, if he ain't on board, get rid of him, because we still got time before that hits. But if you go to that website, Stop World Control, it shows you their timeline, and it's just crazy. But, again, if you study those three agencies and how they look at statutory, non-statutory, whether it be American National, they're definitely distinct, two different statuses. So I'll leave you guys with that. Thank you.
Oof. All right. Thank you for the call. Terry, we got one more caller. I've stopped the calls, folks. Just loaded them up today. But let's go to the last caller. let's go to John in Michigan. John, you're on with Michael, Tom, and Roger. Thanks for holding, my friend. What's on your mind?
Hello, fellas. Yeah, I was just wondering about the Yeah, I was just wondering what you guys thought about if the World Health Organization wants to take care of take over your health as far as pandemic or whatever, but...
No,
you remember it's not like the, it's like not the World year, Health Organization. Well, like a
Hold
year
on,
ago,
second.
They were...
Okay,
they were ahead. They were talking about guns being a health problem. You remember that?
Yes.
What do you what do you think of their devious plans for that too? They kill two birds with one stone with that.
Look, when you talk about the World Health Organization, you're also talking about the Klaus Schwab, whatever it is. His WEF, okay, the World Economic Forum. This is global governance. Between the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum, you are talking about the two biggest participants in taking global governance and throwing it in our face whether we like it or not. And who have they also brought into the game? The United Nations. If you take the money, if you take the fact that the World Health Organization is about to tell everybody we now control when a pandemic is and when it isn't, we can lock your entire country down, and Biden is going over and giving them permission to do everything that totally takes the Constitution and destroys it. If you take a look at who the WHO answers to, it's Klaus Schwab and the WEF. Between the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization and the United Nations, you're looking at global governance. And it will spread if we don't step up.
Yeah, I agree. I agree totally. Yeah, I was just wondering
John,
about that treaty. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. You're wondering about the treaty. Roger, correct me if I'm wrong. Tom, jump in here too. Biden's talking about signing that treaty by the end of March, and isn't Congress stepping up to the plate talking about, no, you need a two-thirds majority to pass it, and Biden's trying to sidestep it? Fill in the blanks if I'm incorrect there.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
No, you are correct. And Tom, I think you and I already had a discussion about this.
Yeah, that's why I said I think you're correct.
Yeah. Part
that
of
would
what
be the senators?
Part of what people need to understand is a senator will say anything when he's talking to you. A congressman will say anything when they're talking to you. I'm not talking about the ones that have been in there for 2 years or 4 years or 6 years. I'm talking about the ones that have been there for 20, 30 years. They are owned. They will tell you what they're going to push back against. How many times have you seen these people say, we're never going to let that happen, only to find out that when the vote comes in, it happened? I would not put trust in any Congress until I see the vote. And if the vote goes against we the people, that is going to be one of the biggest slaps in the faces most of us have ever seen. That's going to cause a massive uprising in this country.
I was just going to interject here, Roger. Isn't that
please.
The line in the sand?
Isn't
it is. That the yes, yes.
It is.
Tom,
yes, and it's the and it's the Senate that passes all treaties and things like that. So, you know, and the only good voice that I at least the only possible good voice is Rand Paul, and he was actually, in fact, I listened to one of his things where he was talking about Davy Crockett in the when he was part of the Congress back in the 1800s, talking about spending other people's money, and they had no right to do it, and they had no privilege.
Yes.
They want to donate, get your wallet out. That's just like I tell people, oh, well, we need to send money to Israel. We need to send money to where? I said, well, great, get your wallet out. Don't steal my money.
God, I love you guys. This has just been awesome, and your callers are phenomenal.
Well, thank you very much. I'll take that as a compliment. But
well, of course they are. Don't be ridiculous.
I have to give the compliments out to the callers as well. Thank you all.
Yes.
But you know, this is we talked about this. This is a roundtable discussion. You know, I asked who wanted to join the PP Club. Let me reiterate, don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining because you're insulting my intelligence. Tom now is in the club. Roger's in the club. All of you can be in the club. But this is what the biggest insult to me, gentlemen, is that these people, I mean, obviously, the sad part about this is in the country in which we live, a lot of these people still out there believe them. We don't. Are we living on the right planet? Did they put us in the right place in the universe, guys? Seriously.
The last 12 years have been choreographed to teach our children and our young adults to believe exactly what they need to believe today for these elitists to succeed. It's called the dumbing down of America. And anybody who said that's a bunch of crap, why do you keep saying that there's nothing behind it? You're seeing what's behind it. We have children today and young adults who think people like you and I are absolutely crazy. Why? Because they don't know any different.
It's interesting that you say that, Roger, because I run into that on a regular basis. I actually, for the first time in months and months and months, actually walked into a fast food chain to not to buy anything because I don't eat fast food, but just to I think I bought a Coke or something, and the girl couldn't even make change. And when I tried to help her, she got mad at me. This is what we have devolved into here.
Well, I always love when you got to ring some up and you give them like some change to make it an even dollar or make it two quarters instead of a dime and nickel and three pennies, and they look at it like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, this is and this whole problem, and I see it on a daily basis in my escapades out there as an Uber driver. You know, it is rampant throughout society now. And it makes one wonder, I remember back when I was a little boy and I had a babysitter and they were an elderly couple. And the gentleman was, I think he was 74, 75 years old at the time. And I was asking him about his life as a little 4-year-old would ask. And he said, I'm ready to leave. I am close to his age now. I understand where he's coming from. This gentleman at the time had to have been born in the 1860s or 70s. And so much has changed since then, but it's been, exacerbated since then from, even 1950 up to the present. It's a different world now, guys. And it's guys like you, it's guys like me, and it's people like this listening audience that are the secret to exposing this. And it is a war, and we need to win. Okay?
I'm the baby here.
I hope everybody understands that RBN is the leader. As far as I'm concerned, we're the leader in the information technology war, and we need your support. TLB Talk could use your support also. Roger is here to help us, do this program. If you haven't joined TLB Talk, you need to get your butt over there and check it out. We got some really great stuff going on. We got some really great stuff coming up. And RBN needs your support to keep this radio station on the air.
Please.
Always. So please help when you can. We know it's tough out there, but you know what? We got to keep this on the air and get as, I stop at traffic lights and jump out and hand somebody a business card, RBN, because they got an old Ron Paul sticker on there or even an Alex Jones sticker. And, my wife's like, what are you doing? You're jumping out in the middle of the highway. Yeah, that's okay. I'll be right back.
John Stadtmiller was my partner in TLV Talk.
Gentlemen,
that's my depth.
Gentlemen,
RBN.
We're out of time. We've got to let you go. Thanks so much for coming on. I want to announce, stay tuned, folks, because Jeff Bennett's coming on. He has a financial show planned next, and it's titled Don't Be Stupid. Again, Roger, Tom, the two PPs, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you, Michael. We really appreciate it.
All right. All right. Good night. See you next time, guys.
We must take America back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.